All right, Colossians chapter 3. I'm still on the subject of forgiveness. And this may be the last message I give on this. This is something else I've been thinking about. Well, I've been thinking about the subject of giving, but I want to do some more preparation before I even begin on that. There's something else I've been thinking about, so I'll probably, God willing, deal with that next time. But now, let me say, I realize I have not dealt with forgiveness in the way most people probably want to hear about forgiveness. Yeah. And what I mean by that is not even merely doctrinal-wise, but what most people like to think about is, I've got these sins, is everything will be okay with me? You understand what I'm saying? I've sinned against God. Give me something in the Bible to set my mind and conscience at ease. Basically, what I've been talking about is the different kinds of forgiveness. There is divine forgiveness, and there's human forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to remind us of these things again, because I believe they're vital, because most folks don't understand this.
Exactly.
When they think about forgiveness, now they may think about it in some light based upon Christ, but we've got to remember, most folks believe Christ didn't actually accomplish anything.
That's it.
He just made a lot of things possible. And then if we, by our own effort, or maybe by a little bit of conviction by the Holy Ghost, or a little conviction in conscience, if we add to that, then some actual benefit can come to pass. But let's remember that divine forgiveness always overshadows human forgiveness. It's always superior to human forgiveness. Even when human forgiveness seeks to imitate divine forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the reason is at least two definite reasons. Divine forgiveness never forsakes holy justice.
Exactly.
That writer, who was it, Isaac Watts? Crime. Did you catch that word when we sang that?
Yeah.
What crime? He didn't just say sin, did he?
Yeah.
Now, sin's perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, most people think of sin as just a mistake.
Yeah.
I messed up.
I
deal with a lot of people that they think they've just messed up.
Yeah.
But what they've done is committed crimes.
Exactly.
And they suffer for those crimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we have to remember, that sin is a crime against God.
Yeah.
But divine forgiveness never forsakes holy justice.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have the idea that when God forgives me, God just lets me go.
Yeah.
The truth is, God may well forgive me, but he still may not let me go.
Exactly.
You know? I will not suffer the actual judgment of sin, which is what? Death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Death. But we still can suffer because of sin.
Yeah.
Paul, the Apostle Paul says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged.
Yeah.
But when we are judged, we are chastened, that is, corrected of the Lord, that we might not be condemned with the world.
Yeah.
Now, this is why some people have termed what I've spoken about governmental, not punishment, but governmental forgiveness. Because God chastens or corrects every son he receives. And this correction, Paul says, when it happens, it's not joyous. It is grief. It hurts.
Yes.
It's difficult, but there's a reason why it's difficult.
Yeah.
When God corrects us, he shows us the seriousness of the matter.
Yes, sir. Yes.
For instance, even this truth, and while it's sometimes hard to bear when it says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Yes.
And remember, we're not sowing in this life and then reaping in the life to come. Not in the sense in which we're talking about. Yes, God's people will give an account of ourselves to God.
Yes, sir.
It says that.
Yeah.
And the dead, both small and great, who will stand before the great white throne, will be judged according to their works. It doesn't say they'll give an account of themselves to God. It says they'll be judged according to their works. God's people are judged according to their works in this life.
Yes, sir.
What we sow, that's what we reap. But in that is an important lesson. Because, David, if God has constantly reminded me of the consequences of sin, I am less likely to overly indulge in these things.
Yeah.
You understand? If I'm constantly reminded by God, well, you sowed that seed, and now you're continually reaping of that seed,
yeah,
then it lets me know, Jay, I need to take care in how I conduct myself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now in Colossians chapter 3, we're given, here we're talking now, let me just bring this down. I said divine forgiveness never forsakes holy justice. And let me just give you this other one. Divine forgiveness always results in a positive result.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't just forgive us and then just leave us to our own devices.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that. But in Colossians chapter 3, we're talking here about forgiveness in Christ. Forgiveness in Christ. And look at what it says. Well, let me just go to chapter 3 and just begin in verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, the word if here is okay. Paul's not saying I have actual doubts as to whether or not you're really in Christ. But the question is, if you are really in Christ.
Yeah.
That's the question. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, that is your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, that at first, when I read that years ago, I thought, well, you know, that just means just think about God. Think about heavenly things. But it says, set your mind on it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And if you got your mind set on it, it's manifested in what you talk about.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's manifested in what you're concerned about.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of people that claim to believe God, but all they talk about is everything but God.
Amen. Exactly.
And when the subject of God comes up, they don't even want much talk about God. And then even God's people can fall into this trap. To where our minds, our affection, the word, it's a good translation here because it means more than just your mental faculties.
Yeah.
It's talking about the mind and things you think about affect us.
Yeah.
And that's why it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Let me tell you, life is a whole lot more joyous when you think about who God is and what He's done for you. When you think about, as to oppose to thinking about where I am right now, what I'm going through. Because if you can't think about the joy that's in Christ while you're going through what you're going through, all you're doing is just having an experience that has no spiritual benefit whatsoever. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. It is amazing to me that I can be around some folks, and it's not long before I can be around other folks, and the subject of the gospel has to be squeezed out, like you squeeze toothpaste out of a tube. You know what I mean? I'm talking about when you get down to the end. If you're like me, you squeeze every little drop of that toothpaste out you can. And some people, getting them to talk about Christ is almost, you know, trying to get blood out of the proverbial turnip.
Yeah.
It just ought not be so. According to Scripture, God's people talk often to one to another concerning the things of God. And when they begin to not do that, it's because something's got in the way. Something else has become far more important. But let's move on. He says, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life. Now, Paul, I know what Paul means here. Christ is my life. That is, I live in Him. I live spiritually in Him.
Yes, sir.
My spiritual life came from Him. It was a gift from Him. He regenerated me. He quickened me. He gave me life. That, in the truest sense, is what Paul's saying. When Christ, our life, you see that? When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. But I also know that in the context here, Christ, my life, is just much more. That's just something God's done for me. And, you know, you got some people, they can talk about religion all day on Sundays.
Yeah.
But Monday through Saturday, I got to deal with other things. I got to deal with work. I got to deal with difficulties. And we do have to deal with these things.
Oh, yeah.
But remember what the Apostle Paul said. Even when we work, if we're a master over a slave, or whether we're a slave under a master, we're to do all things how?
Yes.
How? As unto the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, everything we're to do as unto the Lord. Because He says, when Christ, our life. And for God's people, Christ is our life.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? He is our life. Everything about us, David, Christ is the center.
Yes,
We cannot go long without somehow the thoughts and the affections for Christ and who He is and what He's done somehow begin to fill the mind. And we just can't help it because He is our life. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
Amen.
Brethren, this life's going to end.
Yeah.
One of these days, apart from our Lord returning first, one of these days, every one of us is going to die. And apart from having something else done to our bodies, it will rot.
Yeah.
Okay? And we you know, people, there are some people who think they're going to actually escape the resurrection by having their bodies burned. No such thing could be further from the truth.
Exactly.
The point is, though, we're all, one of these days, going to die.
Yes, sir.
And I know that the mind and the heart can often be filled with, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. If I don't, this won't happen. If I don't do this, that won't happen. If I don't do that, this won't happen. But one of these days, we're all going to die. And you remember what our Lord said concerning men who die and their minds have been caught up with the things of this world? Who shall these things be then after that?
Yeah.
You see, Christ is our life.
Yeah.
And when He appears, we're going to appear with Him in glory. And everything, every relationship outside of Christ, every relationship will not matter.
Exactly.
Even marriages in that day will what? They will not matter. Right?
That's it, man.
They will not matter. Christ is our life, and one day we shall appear with Him in glory. You would think we want to live as close to that now as we can, even before we get there. And Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. There's something we're to do, therefore.
Yeah.
Right? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, I used to hear this in Sunday school. There's some truth to it. I mean, don't get me wrong. But we're always taught in Sunday school, David, now when you see somebody has something, you're not to say, boy, I'd like to have that. You're supposed to say, boy, I'd like to have one like that.
Yeah.
We just made it around God's law, didn't we?
Yeah.
We just found us a way to do what we want to do. We're not guilty of sin anymore. You know what that's still called? Covetousness.
Yeah.
Because covetousness is what? Idolatry.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at that and saying, you know what, I'm well off, I probably don't have one of those. You know? You got to pay taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, at least in this state so far. If you got a vehicle, you got to pay taxes on it. You got a house, you got to pay taxes on it. Got a new vehicle, it's going to break down. We talked about this morning. Everything's going to break down. Everything you buy one day will break down.
Exactly.
You're going to have to spend more money on it. There ain't nothing you're going to buy that's going to cause you to cease having to spend money. God's fixed it that way.
Yep.
If I just had more money, and I've told people, no, that's not my problem. My problem is I need less debt.
Yeah. Yes,
that's my problem. And I've learned this by some experience. Maybe not learned it completely, but I've learned you can do without a whole lot more than you think you can when God Almighty makes you.
Exactly.
And I get very frightened with people when I hear them complain, oh, this is happening, oh, that's happening. But I see what they do.
Yeah.
I see what they do. That's why it says, mortify therefore.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Put to death these members that are not to our benefit.
Yeah.
And one of them is covetousness, which is idolatry. And then what does he say? For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime. How? Why was it we walked that way?
Yeah.
And here's the point. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them.
Exactly.
But now, ye are also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. Now here's what I was talking about, what Christ do is our life. Well, Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and all of these things. That sounds pretty good so far, don't it? But in light of, even in light of what these words that the Apostle Paul has given us as warning of mortifying our members which are upon the earth, these certain members now, right? We're to mortify certain things, we're to deaden them, okay? Yes, we're to deaden certain things, but we're also to put on other things. But then he says we're to be what? Long-suffering.
Yeah. Yes,
you know what that lets me know about you and lets you know about me? We ain't never going to totally get there. Right? Because we're still going to have to be what with one another? Long. Long. What's long mean? It's not short.
Yeah.
Long. How long is long? I don't know. But it's not short.
Exactly.
Okay? Long suffering. Here's another one. Forbearing. In other words, actually putting up something with somebody before the deed even happens. Because you know eventually somebody's going to screw up. Ain't they? Somebody's going to fall. Somebody's going to stumble. Forbearing one another. And doing what? Forgiving one another. You see, we're to be in a constant state of forgiveness. We're to be ready to forgive. Even before the offense takes place. That's the long-suffering. Forbearing. Forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel with any, or against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You see that?
Yes, sir.
And above all these things, put on love, that is, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Mm-hmm.
The bond of perfectness. And let the peace. See, now let me stop. Scripture says love covereth a multitude of sins.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it? Love covereth a multitude of sins. Love is ready to forgive. Love stands ready to forgive. Love is glad to forgive.
Yes.
You see, if you, well, I got to forgive. God said so. Well, you might as well just not forgive.
Exactly.
It's a falsehood. It's false forgiveness.
Yeah.
You understand? It's all, that's nothing but emotion.
Yeah.
It's nothing but not spiritual duty, but religious duty. Well, I got to forgive. We ought to want to forgive.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Want to forgive. And if you love somebody, it's easy to forgive.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't say it's easy emotionally, but it's still easy to forgive.
Yeah.
Because we know what? God Almighty forgave us.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Now, let's think about it. Now, think of, we're talking about forgiveness, but let me just read. This is a familiar passage. But listen to what it says here. This is Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the believer. You know what it says? Uh-uh. Now it's true, God justifies the believer. It's a believer here. It's not a worker, but a believer. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the what? Ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
Amen.
Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are what? Forgiven. Whose sins are covered. And then here's the one that just stands out to me. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
Now think about what you really are. I say were, yeah. But what we even really are now by nature.
Yes, sir.
We're still so bad, there are things about us we need to kill.
Yes, exactly.
Right? These things are still within us. If they weren't, there'd be no reason for this.
Exactly.
If these things weren't a danger to us, there'd be no reason for this passage. But they are a danger. They're still there. We're still capable of these things. And sadly, for most folks in religion, and it's called Christian religion. I don't know how Christian it really is. But for most folks, the reason they don't want to sin is because they don't want to be embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
Huh?
You're right.
You see, I can't do that. I better not do that, because if I do and I get caught, I'll be embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
For God's people, it ought to be this. If I do that, it is an offense unto my God.
Amen.
If I do that, it is an offense unto my God.
Yes.
You remember what David had said, King David? David had lied. He tried to set a man up when he was trying to take the man's wife from him.
Yeah.
And he tried to set the man up to cover his own sin.
Yeah.
And when that didn't work, David actually had him put to death.
Yeah.
Right? He sent him right to the front line knowing he would be killed. Told, was it Joab or one of them, move the forces back.
Yeah.
You know? Leave him right in the heat of the battle. David intended on that man to die. Why? Just so he could cover up his own sin.
Yeah, exactly.
David hurt other people, didn't
he? Yes, sir.
He knew he had hurt. Later, he knew he had hurt other people.
Yeah.
But when we are what we are given in Scripture, and we're told of that prayer of great confession and repentance by David, what did David say about God? Against thee and thee only have I sinned. You see, the problem is all sin is against God.
Yes, that's it.
Now, we might could say, I sin against you. Well, you deserved it. Huh? You deserved it. But let me tell you, no matter what a man deserves, I'm not his judge.
Exactly.
I'm not her judge. It's not up to me to inflict punishment. It's up to me, not I'll say up to me, but it is a responsibility of mine and a responsibility of yours to encourage people to just get rid of that thing, just go on. Keep moving forward. Don't stop here.
Exactly.
If you sinned against God, confess that thing and move on.
Yes.
It's done with, right? It's over with. That's why it says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Yes.
See? Now, this is in light of what? Well, we're strong, free grace believers. Oh, we work and serve the Lord. We're ready to maintain good works. That's not the context here, is it?
No.
The context is we're so faulty that we need to be long suffering with one another.
Yeah.
We're so faulty that we need to forbear one another. We're so faulty that we need to forgive one another.
Yes, sir.
And even though we're so unlovable, we're to love one another.
Yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
You see, I don't deserve your love.
Yeah.
You don't deserve mine.
Yeah.
Christ said, this is a new commandment I give to you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That you love one another. And what God commands of his people under the new covenant, he enables them by the Spirit of God to do.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We really love God's people. He said, I'm talking about beyond a shadow of a doubt. I can't prove to you my love, because there'll be a time when I'll fall short of that. And you can't prove to someone else in this group beyond a shadow of a doubt that you really love them, because there'll come a time when you'll fall short of that and you'll think, I wonder if I really do love. But like Tim James once said, we don't say it. We don't say, well, I know I've passed from death unto life, because I love the brethren. You see, he said, we don't say that. We don't run around saying that. We just know it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I know I'm okay because I love David McCollum. I love Joe Galusi. Huh? You know what Tim James said? It just don't wash, does it? It just don't wash. And here is why Tim James said, because God fixed it so that we can't blame God for anything bad in us. God's also fixed it that we can't boast on anything good that might be found in us.
Exactly.
If it's in us and it's good, it's God Almighty in us.
Amen.
It's not us. If I'm enabled to love, to forgive, to forbear, and to be long-suffering, that's not because that's a part of my character. That's opposite of my character. My character is mentioned in the first few verses.
Yeah.
My character is these ones you need to kill,
yeah,
not put on. Notice, put on the what? The new man, right? but on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and also at the same time, in line all of this, to be what? Thankful.
Yes, sir.
Thankful. Now, I happen to say that I feel a little bit of that. I can relate to that. Words just cannot express the thankfulness, my gratitude toward God for this group of people. It just, Joe and I talked about this the other day on the phone, I think it was on the phone. They're just, this is my family.
Yes.
This is not my extended family. This is not my spiritual family. This is my family.
Yes, sir.
And all these other people out there that I am kin to, they're not my family. They are my kinsmen according to the flesh. And I'm trying my best. Now, I don't always succeed, but I'm trying my best to begin talking that way, even in front of those who are my family.
Yeah.
Because they're not my family. I'm just kin to them.
Yeah, that's it.
I couldn't help that, and they couldn't help that. We're just stuck with one another.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
Whether they like me or I like them, it doesn't matter. We're stuck with. We're born of the same blood. That's kinsmen according to the flesh. That's not the family. And our Lord said that, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He said, come on now, you need to come away from here. Your mother and your brothers are out here, and they desire to speak with you.
Yeah.
He said, who is my mother, my father, my brother, my sister? Who is?
Yeah.
Those that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen. That's it.
Somebody asked, well, what did you do on Thanksgiving? I had a meal with my family and some kinfolk.
Yeah.
And they look at you real strange.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
They look at you real strange. I had a meal with my family and also some of my kinfolk.
Yeah.
And I don't care if that kinfolk is the closest blood relation to me they can be. If all they are my kinfolk, they're just that, the kinfolk. They're not my family.
That's it.
Because this group of people, if there'd have been a handful that said, you know what, I just want to get together with the church. The church. And we'd have us our own Thanksgiving Day meal. I'd have been here before I'd have been anyplace else.
Yes.
And I mean that.
Yeah.
If somebody says, now I got nothing for Christmas, but if somebody said, we want to gather together on Christmas Day, you know where I'm going to be? I'll be right here. I'll be with God's people. And somebody said, but you can't forsake family. I'm not. I'm being with them.
That's right.
Huh?
That's it.
The rest of them are kinfolk.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we need to do that. Matter of fact, I think we ought to avoid any kind of, even the semblance of some kind of celebration of Christmas as a local body.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do in your own home before God? You're at liberty. That's up to you. You will stand before God and give an account of yourself to God. But we don't do that as a body of believers.
Yeah.
We don't put up Christmas trees. We don't put up decorations. We don't have Santa Clauses. We don't have angels on top of the Christmas tree. I told you where that come from. I told you that last year. I won't repeat it. That's where that tradition got started. I know it's not true, but it sounds good anyway. Now see, we're here to stand as a body of believers who are a family.
Yes.
Kinsfolk cannot do this. You know that?
Exactly.
Kinsfolk split up.
Yep.
Break apart. Get mad at one another and can't forgive and love. God's people can. And do.
Yes, sir.
They can and do. I remember when the apostles, remember they were caught, basically put in jail. And it said when they were let go, where did they run to?
Yeah.
They run back home to the kinsmen according to the flesh?
No.
Is that where they ran to?
Yes, sir.
They ran to the people of God's where they went to.
That's right.
They ran to the people of God. You see, we gather on the first day of the week, not because it's a mere duty. It is a duty. And it's what the early church has practiced since the beginning. On the first day of the week, we gather together.
Yeah.
Now, Mason, it doesn't tell me how long we're supposed to gather. It doesn't say you gather together in the morning, you go home, you come back in the evening. It doesn't say that. So if we do that, it's okay. It doesn't say that either way.
Yeah.
But one thing we better do on the first day of the week, and that's what?
Yeah.
Gather together.
Yes,
We have some leeway on when we gather, if we want to do it in the evening, the morning, whatever. Yeah. That's up to us, right? Mason, there is no direct word, but we are to gather.
Yes, sir.
We are to gather. Why do we gather together? To fellowship in the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
As I've said this, and I mean this, and thank God he didn't give me the power to know who should and who shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I don't have that power. If you'd rather be somewhere else, you might as well be there.
Yeah.
Just go on, quit bothering the rest of us.
Yeah.
Quit causing us grief, wondering why you are like you are. If you don't want to be here, just quit.
Yeah.
Just say, have enough honesty to say, I don't enjoy this. I'm not a part of this. I don't agree with you. I'm not going anymore. I can put up with that a whole lot more than somebody putting on a facade.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And then when something happens, they want to point the finger at somebody else.
Yeah.
And they want to blame somebody else rather than dealing with their own sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because, let me tell you, this group will forgive you. It don't matter what.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you stick with the stuff.
Yes, sir.
You abandon the stuff. And I'm talking about the stuff. I'm talking about the gospel of Christ.
Yes,
the
sir.
Truth of God in Christ. You abandon that. You've abandoned everything. Everything they stand for, everything they hold is pure, everything they hold is lovely, everything they hold is dear.
Yes, sir.
That's the whole point. Somebody comes along and says, well, you've got to forgive me no matter what. Well, you're a fool.
Yeah.
What does Paul, now let's think about it. What does Paul say to a man that is an heretic?
Yeah.
After the first and second admonition, he says, you reject him.
Yes, sir.
And I've quoted that and quoted that, but I ain't quoted it all. That's the weird part.
Yeah.
You know, now let me find it. If somebody knows where it's at right off, you tell me. I'm going to have to find it here. I've got it in my notes, I think. Titus 3, ain't it? I think that's where it's at. Yeah. Now look, here's the passage. But I haven't always quoted it all. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, what do? Well, pray for him and just tell him, well, brother, you just hang around for a while. Maybe everything will be okay. Is that what it says to do? It says reject. Then look, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself.
Yep.
I often find myself saying, well, and I don't know that we've had to deal with some direct heresy. You understand what I'm saying? But I'll show you something else here in a moment. But here you have a man, he's an heretic, and you've warned him twice.
Yeah.
Here's thus saith the Lord, and that person refuses to bow down and acknowledge that truth. They're not only refusing that, Mason, but they're then teaching something contrary to it.
Yeah.
It's not just they don't believe it, they don't see it. They're teaching something, they're saying that's a lie, and this over here's the truth. Rather than acknowledging the truth for as it is.
Yeah.
And I think, well, if that happens, you ought to just pray for such a person that God will turn them around. What does that say we know?
Yeah.
If he's a heretic and he's been warned twice,
yeah.
I don't care if that heretic's your brother.
Yeah.
After the flesh. I don't care if it's your mommy or your daddy. If he's a heretic and he's been admonished twice, what does it say to do? Reject him. Because well, I'd rather err on the side of caution. I'd rather err on the side of truth.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
You've got to defend truth no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
You see? Now, here's the question. Is he really saved or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
And that ain't up for me to try to figure out. Was Ananias and Sapphira saved? Huh? See, and everybody wanted to argue, trying to prove one way or the other. Here's the point. The Lord knows he is. And those that name the name of Christ are to depart from what? Iniquity.
Amen.
If it means putting somebody out, then you put them out. And they're one of God's, God will deal with them.
Yes, sir.
It'll be God's business. Because we're here to protect what? The fellowship.
Yes, sir.
The assembly. And the only way to do that is the truth.
That's it.
You remember what Paul said about the truth? He said, I withstood them, no, not for an hour. That why? Fellowship might continue among you? That the truth might continue among you. Folks, we've had people leave this place. Some people. Some. And I don't mean this as a brand all. We've had some people leave this place, and a few of them, I know why they've left this place. This is not a matter of conjecture. This is not a matter of Walter gets a little, you know, Walter kind of, you know, blows things out of proportion every once in a while. Yeah, I may do it, but there are some things I know. And there are certain things I know that has happened that I'm not going to tell everybody because you really don't want to know.
Yeah.
You really don't want to know the details.
Yeah.
But I know there are people who have left this assembly out of malice and hatred for the truth.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And some of those people are very dear to me as I knew them then.
Yeah.
But knowing what they are now,
yeah,
and what they stand for now,
yeah,
and their despising of the truth of God, I find nothing in myself but loathing for such.
Yes, sir.
That's it. I was told one time, well, you just got to love them. I can't.
No.
Not like they are now. I love my memory of them. I love where I thought they once were. But I cannot love where they are now or them either because they are what they live.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, I can't relate to that. That's fine. But I'm telling you, it's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes when it comes to standing for the truth in light of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
There have been people that's been in this assembly. Now, I didn't know it to begin with. You don't. They come in unawares.
Yeah.
You remember Jude spoke of some men who are going to come in unawares. Yeah. They don't have to be male.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. They don't all have to be male. And there are people who have come into this assembly and they would have destroyed this assembly if they could have.
That's right. Yeah.
I found out more about them later on.
Yeah.
Of who they really were and what they really stood for and what they really believed. And David, if they could have, if it hadn't been for the providence of God in joining this group together as he has in a close-knit, doctrinal, stable, loving place that loves the truth, that person would have tore us apart. But they had no foothold.
That's it.
And they worked around the edges.
Yeah.
And they found them a couple that they could move away.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
But it didn't touch this assembly.
That's it.
It didn't touch this assembly. Folks, this battle, this thing about forgiveness, it's not all easy to understand. It's not, you know, this world said, well, you just got to forgive them. No, sometimes forgiving them would be to the detriment of everything.
Exactly.
Because sometimes to forgive is to condone.
Yes. That's it.
If all you do is say, well, don't worry about it. No big deal. It may have been a big deal.
Yes, sir.
And Joe mentioned it. Joe and I didn't talk about this morning. Joe mentioned about mocking people who try to do what? Lead God's people astray. They've been here.
Yeah.
They've tried. And yes, they've took a few off the fringes.
Mm-hmm.
Mason, they have. They've took a few off the edges here and there. So be it. I say glory to God. Somebody said, well, don't you want them to come back? Not like they are. Not like they are. They walk in that door, I'd have to meet them and say, you're welcome to come in and listen, but you don't say a word unless it's repentance. You don't say a word unless you can acknowledge your sin and your need of forgiveness, David.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Because there are people who would destroy the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, you see them on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, there are people who would thrust their, what should be at best, a private way of life,
yeah,
they would thrust it down our throats to where we could even no longer even say we feel that's wrong. They would like to determine it, call it hate speech.
Yeah.
And they'd love to even have, if they could, hate thought.
Yeah.
Been a crime.
Oh, yeah.
They'd like to punish us just for what we think.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. We stand for the truth of God.
Yeah.
And remember, these people take the truth of God and they do what with it? According to Romans 1, they turn the truth of God into a lie. And you know what God says about those kind of folk?
Yeah.
And you know, what's amazing, you know, I've heard people get up, boy, and they preach and them nasty homosexuals, you know. And that, let me tell you, if a person is open in that and has no sense of shame, their conscience is seared with a hot iron.
Right.
If they have no shame and they're proud of what they are,
yeah,
God has given them over to a reprobate mind. God has saved and probably still is saving homosexuals. But he doesn't save them to practice homosexuality. He saves them from it. From it. But people who are not ashamed of that, have no guilty conscience, Paul talks about them in Romans chapter 1, but it's not just those kind of folk either, is it? Well, look at what it says. And even, verse 28, Romans 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I don't even have time to explain all those things, go into detail. And some of these things, we don't want examples because they're too vile to be given examples of the things men do and are capable of. But look, here's the whole point, though. Here's the point. Who knowing the judgment of God, here's the whole thing, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We're not trying to run around trying to get these people forgiven. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. God's turned them over. They're not coming back. Okay? They're not coming back. So what I'm trying to say, when it comes to forgiveness, we got to concentrate on us.
Yeah.
Not worry about the world.
Yeah.
When it comes to forgiveness, we need to concentrate on who's still here, not the ones that have abandoned us in malice, in spite, and hate. Now, there may be some who leave, and it's not after that ilk.
Yeah.
But when it's after that ilk, Mason, I don't need to spend any of my time concerned with that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I need to spend my time concerned with you. With those who are sticking by the stuff and dealing with everyday practical, that's not the right word, just the everyday faults and failures and sins of this world.
Yes.
We got enough trouble on our own to deal with, let alone trying to deal with the world's trouble.
Exactly.
And let's remember, some of the world are our kinsmen according to the flesh.
Yes, sir.
But that's all they are. There is to be natural affection for them.
Yeah.
Right? But love actually does what? It rejoiceth not in iniquity.
Exactly.
You see, when I had that, a certain thing happen to me, and somebody came to me and they said, well, I've said it already, but you just got to love them. And you know what? I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. And then I get that thought, well, I can love them, but I can't love their deeds. And I thought, oh, Walter, you don't go down that track. Huh? You know what the psalmist said, and I believe that is indicative of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I hate them that hate thee. He didn't say, I hate the deeds of those that hate thee. He said, I hate them that hate thee. That's a righteous hatred.
Yes, sir.
That's not a hatred of malice, Mason. It's a righteous hatred. And it's all right to have that kind of hatred. Because you know what the old saying is, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
It has a basis of truth about it.
Yeah.
If you want, I just can't stand against that, you better, if you know the truth.
Yeah.
And you better stand against it so people know you stand against it, because if you don't stand against it so they know you stand against it, they think you stand with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
They think you condone it. Silence is consent.
Yeah.
When everybody else around you is consenting. Yeah. Right? You might not change a thing, but say, no, that's not right.
Yep.
You may not change a thing, but we got to say, no, it's not right. Father, I pray that you encourage us in thy truth, even though at sometimes it's difficult. And Lord, we don't know all the facts, but we must, by thy Spirit, seek to follow as closely to thy word as is possible. I pray you encourage us in the truth and give us true fellowship and compassion and love for one another in Christ. I ask it in His name. Amen.